Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Let's talk about two big names who've been rethinking their decisions about 2020, starting with former Governor Deval Patrick. He told WBUR last December why he and his wife had decided that he would not run for president in 2020.
As Diane and I reflected on it, we realized that, there's no way around the fact that the process is cruel.
So now there are multiple reports that Governor Patrick is taking another look at jumping into the Democratic presidential primary race. Also thinking about a run, former New York City Mayor Mike Bloomberg. He's already filed paperwork for the Alabama primary, and he's in Arkansas doing the same thing today. So what's going on? Why are people like Bloomberg and Patrick thinking about running now? And is it too late to do so? With us to break it all down is WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. Anthony, welcome.
Hi.
Also from Washington, we're joined by Elaine Kmark. She's a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, a superdelegate to the Democratic Convention, and she served in the White House from 1993 to 1997 and was a senior policy advisor to the Al Gore campaign in 2000. Elaine, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Also here in Studio 3 is Michael Curry, former president of the Boston chapter of the NAACP and a member of the National NAACP's Board of Directors. Michael, thanks for being here.
Glad to be here.
And of course, there's you. Pull up a chair. Do you think Patrick or Bloomberg should enter the race at this point, or are you satisfied with the current slate of Democratic candidates? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. Anthony, I'm going to start with a couple of questions to you.
Sure.
First, what do we know so far about why Patrick may be mulling jumping in? What changed?
Yeah, right. Well, here's what we know, which was first reported last night by the New York Times. So we know that Governor Patrick called Joe Biden last week to tell him that he was considering a run, and that Patrick told party leaders that he doesn't think any of the Democratic presidential candidates have established real political momentum. And now, as we know, the race right now is focused on Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders, who lead most national polling and in the early voting states. Pete Buttigieg is also making a strong case in Iowa and New Hampshire. But none of them is running away with the race yet. And so Patrick thinks there's an opening for someone like him, someone who can unite liberals and moderate Democrats. And he's going to have to make up his mind pretty quickly because the filing deadline in New Hampshire is this coming Friday.
As you're reporting this, what are you hearing from Patrick's people, his allies? So,
yeah, well, it's fascinating because Patrick has this core group of folks who were ready to drop everything and support a possible presidential bid a year ago. But as we know, as you mentioned, Tiziana, Patrick decided not to do that. So these folks all went in different directions and got busy with other projects supporting other candidates. And one of them suggested to me that they were all pretty surprised and are now watching from the sidelines, with a good deal of surprise. But there's a sense that Patrick is doing this because of concerns that Joe Biden isn't as strong as he needs to be. His fundraising has been lagging. He hasn't appeared sharp in the debates. And a number of people from, we understand, from former President Obama's team have been urging Patrick to do this. So here we are.
Do you think his allies like his chances?
Well, you know, I think, look, it's a long shot. I think everybody understands that. What Patrick is a compelling figure. He's a stirring orator. He's well known in New Hampshire. He's got relationships with a number of folks who worked with President Obama. So if he could get the whole Obama operation back up and running like tomorrow, maybe this could go somewhere. On the other hand, it's a huge challenge to build a campaign from scratch this late in the date, this late in the process. I mean, he's not like Michael Bloomberg, a billionaire who can self-fund his campaign. So he'd be at a big disadvantage there. So there's some big challenges. That said, his supporters say, look, this is a compelling candidate. If anybody could do a sort of come from behind campaign, he's the guy who could do it. But it's a long shot.
I want to turn to Elaine Kmark now. Elaine, does the entry or possible entry of such last-minute candidates signal to you that we have a weak field in America on the Democratic side?
I think it signals that people are worried about the field. On the other hand, at this stage of the game, what's happening is that all the candidates who've announced have been out there for a while now, and people realize, oh, they have feet of clay, as the saying goes. Everybody knows the downsides to Joe Biden. They know the downsides to Elizabeth Warren, et cetera, et cetera. So what generally happens at this point is that people start looking for somebody who's perfect, a knight on a white horse who's going to come in and just save the party and defeat Trump. Well, the fact of the matter is there is nobody who's perfect. I think that both these candidates, I think Deval Patrick was a fabulous governor of Massachusetts. I think that Mike Bloomberg was a great mayor of New York. I've actually lived in both places and can attest to their skills at governance, but neither of them know the country, the nation, like a president and like a presidential candidate gets to know the nation. So they're a little bit late to the game.
So I'll turn to Michael Curry then. Michael, I really like Elaine's, you know, they're discovering feet of clay. Get 24 pairs of feet, right, that entered this race at the beginning. Yes, feet of clay, but really no one who's sort of the exciting focal point at this point for the race?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd characterize it that way. I think it's a strong field. I think there are some exciting candidates in the field. I travel this country quite a bit, and folks are excited about each of them. I have some strong Biden supporters, some strong Senator Warren supporters who asked me questions about how she governed here in Massachusetts. So I think it's a strong feel. I think that Deval and Bloomberg entering the race is because they feel there's something missing. Either they don't feel, which actually goes against the polls, that any of the existing candidates have a strong chance of beating Donald Trump, or they just feel like there's a message missing, or they don't want to go as far as maybe Senator Warren does on some of her policy issues, or they don't think Biden has the longevity to really last this whole campaign. Whatever that is, I can speak in particular about Governor Patrick in that I know him, spent some time traveling the country with him and meeting with folks on the ground. He actually has a strong presence across the country. I was just talking just a few minutes ago that I got 30 text messages overnight from 21 to 35-year-olds across the country, no exaggeration, who said I would quit my job today and come work for him. He has that kind of appeal that I think people across the country would say, hey, I want to work for him. I'd be excited. Bloomberg, he's a multi-billionaire. He's, I think, $52+ billion net worth. That's a lot of money, and you can really influence a campaign with money. I don't know what will result from their entering the campaign, but I think it makes for an even stronger field.
I'm going to take a couple of calls. First, Tori from Westford, you're on the line. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to weigh in on, it sounded like Deval Patrick's, one of his reasoning for getting in was that he didn't see the candidates as having momentum and having a lot of enthusiasm around them, and I just disagree, because if you look at Bernie Sanders and the numbers he's drawing with 25,000 people at his rallies, and even Elizabeth Warren has some momentum behind her as well, he should just call a spade. It sounds like he's saying, you know, there's not enough momentum around the establishment or more moderate candidates. I think that would be more accurate to say, because Americans are excited about progressive ideas right now.
Okay.
70% of Americans want Medicare for all. So I think...
Thanks, Tori. Thanks. So I want to add one more call. Linda from Quincy. Linda, go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to give my...
Oops, Linda, we lost running. You. Oh, there she is.
Oh, hi.
Try again.
So I wanted to give... Oh, okay. So I just wanted to give my input about Governor Patrick running and saying that he could excite the party with his candidacy. And I don't see that. I don't see the difference between him and the other candidates that are running. And actually, someone who would really excite the party would be Michelle Obama. And she would get my vote if she decided to run.
Okay. So. Thanks, Linda. So there are three things that I want to get at in those two calls. I'm going to kind of go in reverse order, starting with you, Elaine. Does it take a Michelle Obama to come in at this point and have traction this late in a race?
It probably does. And the reason is that what she has or somebody like her has that the other people don't is they have a real national base and real national experience. 30 people volunteering to go to work for a candidate is about what you need for one county in Iowa. So it's, you know, people always underestimate the amount and the depth of knowledge and experience and contacts that you need in 50 states in order to win a presidential nomination. So somebody like Michelle Obama could maybe pull that off because she does have a national base because of her husband. But there's not very many people out there who could.
All right. And Anthony, what about this point that actually there are some candidates with very strong momentum? Is this the establishment being worried, or are there really are we really experiencing a dearth of excitement around the existing candidate base?
Well, to the last question, no, I don't think we're experiencing a dearth of excitement. I mean, I'm sort of amused by this whole thing because it wasn't long ago that there were 27 candidates and people were saying, oh, my God, we've got to winnow this field. And now it's down to, what, 23? And suddenly we're saying we don't have enough candidates. So I'm sort of amused by that. But no, look, when I'm out on the campaign trail, we heard the caller. She's absolutely right. Bernie Sanders is drawing huge crowds, lots of excitement at Warren's campaigns. Pete Buttigieg is coming up and drawing, I think he had something like 1,300 people up in, I'm forgetting where, last week in New Hampshire. I mean, there's a lot of excitement around these people. And I think, and look, a number of polls tell us again and again that Democratic voters are really pretty happy with this selection of candidates. So I think you can raise the question and ask Deval Patrick, really, you're going to come in this late? And what about all those people who have already been out there for so long? You know, I spoke to one presidential Democratic campaign manager last night who said, we've genuinely built something. Is all that going to disappear in a moment just because Deval Patrick gets in the race at this late date? So I think it's a fair question.
Go ahead, Michael.
And it's interesting. I think Deval's consideration and even Bloomberg's consideration is really about it's a fragmented race right now because so many people are in different camps. Mm-hmm. You know, when I think about Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, who I've talked to and got a chance to sit with when he was here recently, you think about Senator Warren, who I think is a dynamic candidate, but they don't have much traction in African-American communities, right? If you look around southern states with large numbers of African-Americans, they haven't gained traction. What does that mean? I think that's probably part of the consideration for a candidate like Deval Patrick is I can bring that communities of color base to the election behind me. I can actually pull the moderates, the liberals to the table behind his candidacy. So I think he's considering it in terms of bringing all those different factions within the Democratic Party together. I think that's a legitimate consideration.
Elaine, that does raise a question. I mean, at one point, 27, right? Then 24.
Right.
We still have a lot of candidates still worried about fitting them all on the stage at a debate. Is there any part of the Democratic Party continuum that, in fact, is missing or not represented already among the landscape of current candidates?
No, I'd say we've got them all, okay? I think we've got the full diversity of the Democratic Party is on that stage, has been on that stage. We even already have a billionaire. We even have Tom Steyer on the stage. So we'd have two billionaires. We'd have several people of color. We have a lot of women. The party in its diversity has been well represented already, and I don't think they really particularly need the addition of more people. But let's go to the question of the African-American base, which is critical to the Democratic Party. What happened in 2008 was that Barack Obama proved that he could win votes in a very white state, Iowa. And until he proved that, the African-American base was with Hillary Clinton. And then within a couple of weeks, by the time the candidates got to South Carolina, that race had changed and Barack Obama had a solid base in the African-American community. So the same thing would have to happen this time. Someone like Deval Patrick or Cory Booker or Kamala Harris, if they can win Iowa, they're going to really, you know, sweep through a lot of those southern primaries. But right now, Joe Biden is holding on to the African-American base. That is a source of his strength. And you will need someone to defeat Biden in one of those early primaries to start cutting into that base.
Michael, you're nodding a lot as Elaine is speaking.
Yeah, I think she's absolutely correct. I think, you know, when President Obama won in Des Moines, it said to all those African Americans that we have a viable candidate. We have someone who could actually win this race. And though they liked Hillary Clinton, though they were longtime Clinton supporters, they decided to put their support and their eventual vote behind the candidate they most wanted. I think Biden runs a little bit of that risk here, too. African Americans support Biden because they want to get rid of Trump, and they see him as the most viable candidate to do that. But at the time that they see potentially Kamala, potentially even Senator Warren or Cory Booker as a viable candidate, I think there'll be a dramatic shift in votes.
Anthony, so as I'm listening to Elaine and Michael, it's making me want to ask you, you've been covering presidential races for a while. There are little bits of this that feel reflective of the Republican side in 2016. Huge landscape, wide range of candidates. The establishment gets very nervous because there's a kind of an extreme candidate who's gaining in popularity. Do you see parallels here with what happened for the Republican Party in 2016?
That's interesting. I hadn't really thought of that. I'm really just sort of struck by this idea that there are so many candidates, and here we are at this late date adding more candidates. But, I think you raise an interesting point. I think there are some parallels there, to be sure.
And Elaine, how about you?
Well, I think it's a little bit different. And the reason it's different is that the Republican Party has a set of rules state by state that are winner-take-all rules. And what that meant in 2016 for the Republicans was that Donald Trump could accumulate a delegate lead that was fairly substantial fairly early on, even though his votes were not all that substantial. In other words, he was winning, but he was winning very narrowly. In the Democratic Party, it's kind of the opposite. In the Democratic Party, we apportion delegates proportionally by congressional district. What that means is that it's very hard for somebody to emerge, and we might have, in fact, a splintered field if there is no clear-cut winner. And the winners have a hard time winning, whereas in the Republican side, if you win by a small amount, you can really take off.
All right.
And that's what happened to Trump.
Elaine Kmark, Senior Fellow at the Brookings Institution, thank you. WBUR Senior Political Reporter Anthony Brooks, thanks.
Hey, my pleasure.
And Michael Curry, former president of the Boston chapter of the NAACP and on the national board, thank you.
Always glad to be here.
Stay tuned. There's more ahead.